The news came to Egypt, the death angel's coming. Get your house in order, prepare for that moment. A young boy is crying, 'cause he's scared of dying. But with morning's light, he finds he's alright.
Because of the blood placed over the door, my sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, now I am free. Sentence of death has passed over me. I now live in His love, because of the blood.
The preacher was preaching, judgment is coming. You'd better get ready, oh, heed the warning. I too was crying, I knew I was dying. Forgive me, I pray, and now I can say.
Because of the blood placed over the door, my sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, now I am free. Sentence of death has passed over me.
I now live in His love,
because of the blood. I was locked in chains that had me bound, till He came and rescued me. He opened up my blinded eyes, and now I can see, because of the blood placed over the door. My sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, now I am free. Sentence of death has passed over me.
I now live in His love,
because of the blood.
Take your Bibles and turn to John, John chapter 4, Gospel of John in chapter 4, and we begin reading in verse number 1, John 4, verse 1, as you find your place, and if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then he saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the safety of coming in from the rain and gathering here, Lord. Help us today to get something from your word, to get something from the message. Bless Brother Mark and fill him with your Holy Spirit power. In your name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. As you're seated there, As Pastor would say, please make sure your cell phones are turned off, put away. And if not, then Pastor's picture is going to come up on that screen right there, and we will FaceTime him, and he will watch you and everything he's ever thought about you, threatened you with. John chapter 4, and your Bibles, please, as we look at this passage here today about this woman that all we know about her is she is just the woman at the well. The woman at the well. Jesus Christ was departed from Judea, and he was going to Galilee. And the Jews would not go through this place called Samaria. They would go around there. Even this woman would tell Jesus later on in this passage that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And she even wondered why he would even spend the time talking with her. And so as Jesus was going on his journey, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Jesus never did anything on accident, right? God has never made a mistake. He's never had an accident. He's never forgotten anything. Everything that God has ever done is on purpose. And he said he must needs go through Samaria. And while he was there, as I thought about this story, I kind of think about this passage that the disciples were not there at all, but they traveled with him to Samaria. And when he went there, the Bible says he got there about the sixth hour, which is about noon. Their hour would start counting at about sunrise. And so about noon, the Bible says Jesus sat on the well and he was wearied with his journey. It was a long journey. He was tired. He was thirsty. He was hungry. And the disciples, as they got there, they went into the city to go get some food, as any good Baptist would do. And so as Jesus went on this journey, they just thought, we're just stopping here for a moment, the disciples thought. We're just, you know, it's just a resting place. But again, Jesus had a purpose, and he had a meeting there that day that the disciples did not know about. And so he sat there on the well, and the disciples, they went into the city to go and buy meat. And while they were gone, he had this meeting with this Samaritan woman. And as you see there, in verse number 7, it says, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. If you think about this for a minute, a couple things stand out. First of all, she's going out in the bit of the heat of the day at noon. This is probably not a normal time that they would go out and collect their water. And you notice, not only is she going out in the heat of the day and not going out in the morning, but also she's coming by herself. There's no one there to help her. She's gathering water by herself. You would think there would be a man of the house to come and help take care of this need of drawing the water from the well, not taking it for granted from, you turn on your faucet and the water comes out, or put the cup up to the fridge, and she had to go and draw this water. So she was coming by herself. There was no one with her. She was going out in the heat of the day. But Jesus knew she would be there at this time, and it was one woman that Jesus came for this special meeting with her. And as he was there, he had a conversation with her. And the Bible says when he saw her, he initiated the conversation and he said to her, give me to drink. Jesus, many times in the Bible, if you notice, he always asked questions, right? He would always ask leading questions. He was trying to get to a point in their life, and it was always leading questions to point to the gospel. He was always trying to point someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he died to pay for their sins. So he said, give me to drink. And she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, that I'm a Samaritan? Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She didn't even ask him why he was asking for water. She just said, why are you even talking to me? It was unusual. This was an unusual situation. But Jesus came that day for a special meeting. And if you notice, Jesus was there first, and this woman came later on. And I want to talk to you for a moment today about Jesus was waiting by the well. Jesus was waiting by the well. He had an appointment for this woman, for this time, on this date, at this location, that would change her life forever. Now, they would have a discussion here for a while, and she had a lot of doubt. She had a lot of questions. She had a lot of background story to her life, which I'm sure none of us have any background to our life, right? She had, if you will, some skeletons in the closet. Now, that's figuratively speaking, if you know the story, of course. But she had some history in her life. And you would think that Jesus, when he took his time to talk with her, You think about all the people that Jesus stopped to talk to. He would stop to talk to the lame man. He would stop to talk to the children. He would stop to help this woman caught in the adultery and was about to be stoned to death. Jesus Christ stopped to help people that were needy. If you know this, Jesus came, he didn't come to help those that thought they were righteous, but he came to help those that knew they needed a physician, people that knew they needed help. So when he came to talk to her that day, he was waiting for her. He had an appointment. He had a meeting. If you know this in your life, there are times where God, and it should be more often than not, that God has a meeting and a time and a place with us where we need to talk with God. First of all, that's a matter of salvation. Where Jesus Christ was waiting by the well in your life, and he was waiting to come and to talk to you to deal with this most important matter, this matter of salvation. So many times we get kind of caught up on how somebody looks or what they're doing in their life, and yes, that's an issue, but we all have a sin issue, right? We all have a sin issue, right? But Jesus Christ came to talk to this woman because she had an issue, and it was this matter of salvation. And aren't you thankful that God came by your way and he was sitting at the well because he wanted to talk with you, because he wanted to save your soul. Before we think that we're better than anyone else, we're no better than this woman or anyone that's ever walked on the face of this earth, because we are all sinners deserving a place called hell. Jesus was waiting by the well because he wanted to talk to her about her salvation. He wanted to help this woman. But sometimes Jesus Christ is waiting by the well because he wants to spend time with us. Because maybe he says, hey, I need you to get a flat tire because I just need to talk with you today. It's been too long. You ever been there before? Right? And you're sitting there cranking that tire and thinking, Lord, help us. We were in Alaska and we were driving back to the airport. And I made the mistake of not giving extra time to get to the airport, if you know what I mean. And then all of a sudden, as Miss Martinez predicted, our tire went flat. She predicted at the beginning of the week the tire looked flat, and I said, no, it's fine, it's fine, I'm sure it's good. We even stopped as we left the airport, and it was fine. On the way back to the airport after a week, it wasn't so fine. And we stopped on the side of the road, and there was no one around. It was us and some guy in a camper thing over there, and we're trying to change the tire and thinking, Lord, you've got to help us. Cell phone's not working, there's no signal, there's no internet, there was nothing. And I thought, Lord, if you don't get this tire changed right now, we're missing the flight, like all of us. Not just me, but our whole team group. Maybe sometimes God puts things in our life just to stop us and say, I just want to spend some time with you, to talk with you. Sometimes God maybe brings a trial and a difficulty our way just because he wants to talk to his children. For us to realize that not only do we need Christ for salvation, but we need God every day of our life. We need to walk with God every day in our life. And Jesus Christ was waiting by the well. Why was Jesus Christ waiting by the well? First of all, because for this woman, this was a well of religion. Look at verse number 12, please. Number 12 in your Bibles. Let's look at verse number 11. Actually, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's just not understanding. The well is deep. You didn't bring anything with you. What's the living water? I don't know what you're talking about, God. What are you trying to do in my life? Now, I don't think she knew at this moment that this was Jesus Christ. She didn't. Later on, you'll see that she was still waiting for the Messiah to come. But she said, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. In verse number 12, he says this. She said this to him. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than Jacob? And the answer, church, is what? Yes, he is. Because we serve a God that is greater. I think about Miss Robinson. Miss Robinson, she sings that song, well, he is greater and Jesus is greater than all of these. I'm not going to start singing for you. Don't get worried. All right? But it was a well of religion for her. She said, are you greater than Jacob? She would say down in verse number 20, if you look at that, she says this, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say then in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She knew Jacob. She knew that this place was a place of worship. For her, this well was a place of religion in her life. Can I tell you this? That religion is not going to get anyone to heaven. It doesn't matter what church you go to, what title you have after your name. Religion and knowing somebody is not going to get anybody to heaven. She knew about Jacob, one of the patriarchs. She knew that they worshiped in this mountain, and they had a place of worship there in Samaria, and there was also a place of worship in Jerusalem. And she said, well, we worship here. And she was going to stand on her religious high horse, that she knew what she was talking about. This was a well of religion that Jesus Christ had to take away, had to correct in her life. Sometimes people think that they're just too good for God. They don't need God because they're not a sinner. Right? How foolish, how arrogant for us to say that we're not a sinner. How arrogant to say that we are perfect and that we deserve to go to heaven. The Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. She was stuck in her false religion. She was stuck in her works. She knew about Jacob. They worshiped there. Whether she did or others did, she was stuck with her good works. And some people think that they're going to work their way to heaven, or sometimes as a Christian, we think that we're going to impress God with our good works, kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees would do in the New Testament. And they would go and throw their money in the offerings, and they would, you know, give in loud voices, pray for everyone to hear them and things like that, and rebuke Jesus or rebuke the disciples. If you think you're going to impress God with your good works, you're wrong and I'm wrong. Because the Bible says our good works are just as filthy rags in the sight of God. All we are is a sinner saved by grace. She had this well of religion in her life. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Only by the mercy of God will any one of us enter heaven. Not because we're good, not because we were raised in church, not because we carry a Bible or we have a dozen Bibles at home, or because of what we wear. We will only be saved by the mercy of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the previous chapter, Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus, and he told him, ye must be born again. It's not like you should, or you should think about it, or someday. You know, I don't know, one of these days I'll think about getting saved. Well, let me ask you this. When is your last day going to be on this earth? Can you tell me that? Can you tell me when the last day is you're going to spend on this earth? So you can get saved before that last moment. What if you never have that last chance? You hear about people that they die without Christ on their deathbed. They hear the gospel, but they're still holding on their false religion, and they'll go to hell and spend forever thinking, I could have been saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man means no man. No one's getting to heaven other than by way of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. For this woman, this was a well of religion. She went there and said, our fathers worshipped here, and Jacob gave this well to his sons, and that's why we come here. Religion was not good enough for her, and it's not good enough for us. The only way anyone will enter heaven is through Jesus Christ. This well here for her also was a well of doubt. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says here, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See, I thought the Bible says that with God, nothing shall be impossible, right? Nothing is impossible. And then she goes on to say this. Think about what she's saying. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She says, you have nothing to draw with. She says, are you greater than Jacob? This woman, she had some doubt in her life. Again, she had some past. She had a history in her life. Doubt is a crippling lack of faith that will send more people to hell than anything else, I believe. Doubt in God, doubt in the Word of God, doubt in eternal life, doubt that Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins, doubt in those things will send somebody to a place called hell. Think about this, though. Doubting God is really just putting faith in yourself. Think about it. If you're like, well, I don't really know about the Bible, you don't really know, do you? That's why it's called faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? It's faith. We all act and live by faith every day. You turn on a car and you drive down the road by faith. We do things by faith. Think about this for a minute. You'll get into an airplane and you'll go and fly somewhere, and a pilot that you've never met, you don't know where they went to school to learn, you didn't see any of their credentials, you didn't see a badge or anything, you go and sit down in a seat for them to fly you 30,000 feet in the air, however high it is, and drive and fly a thousand miles somewhere, and by faith, buckle that seatbelt. Don't you love it? The last thing they do before you take off is tell you what to do when you crash. Yeah. That's the last thing I want to hear right now, all right? And I want to know when a seat has ever saved somebody's life, all right? The seat uses the flotation device. If that's my hope, I'm jumping out, all right? I'm jumping ship. I'm jumping the plane. But we'll put faith in a plane. We'll put faith in a person we've never met, we don't know, but then we come to God and say, well, God, I don't really know about you. I don't really know about this plan you have in my life. I don't really know about that verse in the Bible. I'm not really sure. Well, again, none of us are an expert on anything, and I know this, I don't know better than God, and neither do you. See, this was a place of doubt. She said, I don't know if you can draw that. I don't know who you are. She doubted the person of God. She doubted the person of God. You know what? Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Whether it be for eternal life or in this life as a Christian, without God, we have no hope. But aren't you thankful that we serve a God that is mighty? What a great and a mighty God that we serve, that He knows everything, that He is all-powerful, that God is the controller of this universe. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end, the first and the last. She doubted the person of God. She doubted the power of God. She said, I don't think that you can reach and grab down and get some water out of that well. Again, she did not know this was Jesus Christ she was speaking to at this time. How many times do we come to God in doubt? And we say, God, I have a big need, but I don't know if you can really meet this financial need in my life. And God said, really? Really? You're saying I can't meet a financial need in your life. You say, but I have this health need. I don't really know if you can meet this need in my life. And God says, do you know that I am the great physician? Do you know that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills? And God says, I can meet any need that you have. Don't doubt God. There is no need to doubt Him now. Sometimes we think, well, I just don't really know. How could God be real? Could God really come through with this? Is the Bible really God's word? Is there really life after death and heaven and hell? And the answer is yes. And how do we know that? Because God told us in His word. And how do we know that's true? Because God knows better than you and I. God knows better than us. So if we're going to put faith in somebody, it better be God and not in ourselves. This was a well of religion. It was a well of doubt. The Bible says of those that will spend eternity in a lake of fire, the Bible says the first on the list is but the fearful and unbelieving. And it goes on the list that will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Some people are going to go and spend eternity in hell because they just couldn't get all of their questions answered. They couldn't just get everything that they need. Again, we all put faith in something and in somebody. And if you're going to put your faith in somebody or anybody or anything, it should be in God and in His word, and that He is the only way to heaven. It was a well of religion. It was a well of doubt, but also it was a well of sin. Not the well itself, but for this woman here. Look at verse number 15. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, speaking of this everlasting life, which shall never thirst again. Think about it, teenagers, if you had a chore to go and get water for your house every day for the whole family, and someone said, I've got a ticket to where you never have to go draw water ever again, like take the one chore away from you, would you take that? Of course, right? No chores ever again, party. And she said, I'll never have to come back, and I'll never have to draw water, and I'll never thirst again. But Jesus had to deal with an issue here. Verse number 15, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I never have to come back again. Praise the Lord. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And she probably went, uh-oh, He knows. But then she thought, well, maybe He doesn't really know. Look at verse number 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. I love the next verse. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I think you know what you're talking about, right? Kids, you ever get in trouble for something and you're like, how did my parents ever find out? How do they know that? Because parents always know. We will always find out, right? She said, Sir, I believe that thou art a prophet. He said, before we go any further, we have to deal with this false religion. We have to deal with the doubt, but then we have to deal with the sin issue. He said, go call your husband to help you. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And she's thinking, he doesn't know. Keep a straight face, you know. Don't let the face give it away. I have a bad lying face, I've been told. Not that I'm trying to lie all the time, just so you know. But if I do, I'll get caught. A well of sin. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, because you've had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband. And she went, I'm busted. Then all of a sudden, she started to realize that she's speaking to someone that's more than just a man. He's more than just a man. Everyone has this sin problem. Some are not willing to admit it. Some try to excuse it. Some try to minimize it. Some try to say, well, it's not as bad as their sin is, right? Well, I'm not as bad as the world out there. Is that our goal? Is that our measure? That we're just supposed to not be as bad as this wicked, sinful world out there? No, it's not. See, our measure is by Jesus Christ, right? And when we do not match up to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're not good enough, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This was a well of sin. He had to deal with the sin issue in her life. When it comes to our salvation, you cannot get saved if you are not lost. If you're not lost, if you have no need of a Savior, if you have no sin sending you to hell, you have no need of a Savior. But we all have that need. It's just a matter of if you're willing to admit it or not. This woman, first of all, she had to deal with this hidden sin issue. I have no husband. It was hidden away. Jesus couldn't see it, right? He couldn't see it. I mean, it wasn't right in front of him at the well. But we know this, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That famous verse, be sure your sins will what? Find you out. Because God knows everything. He even knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God knows everything you've ever thought about, you've ever done, everywhere you've ever been. What a humbling thought that God would still love us. God knows everything about you, and he still chooses to love you. No matter what you do, you can never get away from the love of God and also from the conviction of God. This hidden sin, I don't have a husband. Why do we think that we can hide things from God? Well, if my spouse can't see, then no one really knows. You teach your children at a young age, or we do. We tell them, you know, God sees. God knows everything. Charlotte, she likes to, you know, she doesn't want to eat something. She puts her bowl and covers it up. It's all gone. I said, it's not gone, but God is watching. God can see everything. It's not just about what mommy and daddy can see, but God sees everything. The things done in private, the things done in public, the things done in church, out of church, wherever it may be. Too many people try hiding their sin from God and thinking you're getting away from it. What a foolish thought to think we're getting away with something from God. We serve a loving God, but we also serve a holy and a just God, right? That's what false religions forget about today, is they focus on the love and the compassion and the mercy and peace and the grace of God. Yes, he is all the things, but he's also God of judgment and holiness and justice, and he will judge our sin. And that's why it's so important to know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sin, so you don't have to answer for your sin when it comes to eternity. You can hide things from people, but you will never hide anything from God. This well of sin in her life. There are people in the Bible, they tried hiding their sin, but they didn't get away with it. Achan tried hiding his garments, and he was caught. David tried hiding his adultery. He got caught. Ananias and Sapphira tried hiding their money, what they sold to give to the Lord. They got caught. Adam and Eve hiding in the Garden of Eden. They're the only two people on earth, and they're hiding from God. There's no one else around. Where are you? We're back here, just making some clothes, trying to be good, doing nothing wrong. And they start blaming other people. Hidden sin. We see the conviction of sin. And she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. The Bible says Jesus has come. Talking to the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. It will, and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's job is to reprove or convict, the Bible says, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Jesus Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What this world needs today is a good dose of repentance and getting right with God. I'm talking about those that are lost for salvation, but also for Christians to get right with God and repent and to turn from our known sins to get right with God as well. Conviction of sin. This was a well of religion. It was a well of sin. It was also a well of doubt. And then lastly, this morning, it was a well of salvation. Look at verse number 28. We're skipping a few verses here today. The disciples came back from getting the meat, missed the whole conversation. You ever come back after a conversation, you go, what did I just miss? There's maybe like tension in the room. No one's talking. They're looking at them. Someone's crying. What happened here? All right, they kind of came back to that situation. Verse 28, it says, and the woman, let's go back to verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Look at verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Are you thankful for this well of salvation? This well of salvation that has living water, everlasting water that's available to everyone. Remember, Jesus Christ told her, if you knew this living water, you would have asked of me this gift of God that I would give to you. And we know this, that salvation is a free gift. We cannot do anything to earn it or work for it or buy it in any sort whatsoever. It's a free gift, this well of salvation that God freely offers to all that will humbly come and receive of this living water. She had had of this physical water, but that water that this world gives, you thirst again, and you'll thirst again, and you'll thirst again. But this well of salvation, this everlasting water, the Bible says you will never thirst again. That's what you call eternal security. Once saved, always saved. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you will never lose that salvation. The Bible says that she went into the city, and she went and told everybody that she could find. Look at verse number 39. As she went to the city and said, as in the previous verses, come and see a man. Is not this the Christ? Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. When the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. One woman trusted Christ as her Savior. One woman trusted Christ, and she went back home. She left her water pots, if you will. She left everything that she had behind and trusted in Jesus Christ. And she went back home, and she said, I've got to tell everybody that this is a man, this is the Christ that everyone needs to meet, that everyone needs to come and see this Christ that can save their souls. And this many turned into many more in verse number 41, and many more believed, not because of her word. She helped point him to Christ, but many more believe because of his word. Hey, it's our job as a Christian. If you receive that well of salvation, that living water, it's our job to take other people and point them back and say, come and see a man. Come and see the Christ. Come and see someone that can save you from your sins, and many can believe on his word. That part is up to you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the Bible says, to what? Every creature. To every creature. Hey, many believe because of the testimony of one woman. And then many more believe because of Jesus Christ's word. Are you at the well today? Jesus Christ is meeting and he's calling you for salvation. If you're not saved today, would you trust in him alone as your Savior? Maybe he's meeting to come and spend some time with you, to talk with you, to deal with this matter of religion, this matter of doubt, this matter of sin in your life. Trust in Christ alone as your Savior today, or come back to the Lord. God is trying to meet with you today, heads bowed and eyes closed.